9:30 is very late. They finished very late today.
Okay, but I still have to be. It doesn't matter what time they leave. I have to still be at 9:30.
But 9:30, they're about finished. They're like finishing up.
Okay. But kids, still, we have to aim. We have to aim to start at 9:30. I pledge, Rabbi Yisrael, when we do tshuva, usashuva, usfila, utstaka, we have to start over here at 9:30. Let's begin. Let's continue. We left off yesterday. We were discussing the Malbim. We were in the Malbim. Sorry, I apologize. We were still in the Radak. We did not deserve that. We in the Radak. We have the Pasuk Dalet. Okay, yesterday we learned two Pesukim. We discussed what's going to happen to the city of, well, not really, the Medina of Damesek. Damesek is the capital of Aram Tsoiva. And Amos is giving Musar, not just the Klal Yisrael. His role as a Navi is to give Musar to the entire world. He has a world stage. And before he comes to Klal Yisrael, he's going to give Musar to the different nations of the world. His first nation on the list is Aram Tzoiva. What is the capital of Aram Tzoiva? Damascus.
Did they know he was a Navi? Yes, they certainly did.
Absolutely. Navi doesn't come around, every so often. They knew he was a Navi, they knew he spoke the word of Hashem, and he gave them Musar, and he said to them, we learned yesterday, we learned the two Pesukim, and he said very controversial Radak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not involve himself in the affairs of this world if, number one, it does not affect Klal Yisrael. Number two, the sins of a nation are not outrageous. Over here, they've done both. Number one, according to the Radak, his understanding, which is not everyone else's understanding, the nation of Aram Tzoiva have caused great harm to Klal Yisrael three times. They launched a war. They attacked Klal Yisrael for no good reason three times. And we learned yesterday the exact events. He cites the Pesukim, Sefer Melachim, where we find that they caused them tsar for no reason whatsoever. And and Hashem says, even though you've done it three times, Hashem, for whatever reason, he held back. He did not punish them. But when they attacked Klal Yisrael the fourth time, and that was against the Malchus of Yehuda, and their attack wasn't just an ordinary attack, they tortured the victims. They took iron spikes and they combed their flesh. They stepped on them like one would thresh grain. Hashem said, "Ad kan, you're torturing my people. Now, not only will I punish you for this sin, I will punish you retroactively for the other three wars that you have conducted for no good reason. That will also be included in the punishment." And that's what Pasuk Dalet says. The punishment will be, I will send forth a fire in the Beis Hazoel. He was one of the kings of, before Assad, there was someone called Asoel, and before Ben Hadad, before Assad, there was the Ben Hadad, and Hashem says he will send forth a fire, and the fire will destroy the home of Hazoel, and will consume the palaces of Ben Hadad, two famous people in ancient times who were in charge, who were the authorities of Aram Tzoiva. Let's see the rap part of the Mitzudah is in Pasuk Dalid. Pasuk Dalid, the Radak that we're up to on page 269, Pasuk Dalid, Vishilach the Esh, Eshu Mashal Al Ho'oyev, Kumo Ki Esh Yotza Mechesboin. A fire has gone forth from Cheshboin. It means Hashem will cause the enemy to arise and destroy. And we learned yesterday in the Radak, who is the enemy that we are referring to? Melech Ashur. Melech Ashur obliterated Aram. When did he obliterate Aram? At the same time that he exiled the Aseres Hashotin. Same time, because they're right next to each other. So he took them both at the same time. And this was 65 years later, the time that he is speaking. Almost is speaking 2 years before the earthquake. And the earthquake was 63 years before the beginning of the exile of the Aseres Hashvatim, which coincided with the exile and the Churban of Aram. And that's all the calculation we learned yesterday, just reviewing what we learned yesterday. V'shilach the eshu moshla ha'ev, k'ma ki eshu yotzim e'cheshven, chazul ben hadad, him hayu malche adam. These are the kings of Aram. Okay, that's really it. That's it. So we finish over here. Those two psukim. Let's take a look over here at the Malbum. Where is the Malbum? Where does it start? It starts back on the previous page. Okay, Koyama Hashem. Okay, this is on... Back 266. Koy Omar Hashem Achash Siper Teore Hanavi. After we've already described the image of the Navi, the Echuch Sak Lenavi Neman, going back what we learned yesterday, Pasik Beis was where Amos presented his credentials. He predicted there would be an earthquake, and 2 years in advance. And the earthquake indeed happened, and everyone then realized that he indeed is a Navi. A Navi has to prove himself. The way a Navi proves himself is by giving a sign, telling you an event that will occur. And here he did so. He told the Klal Yisrael an event will occur, there will be an earthquake. So after we already described the Torah, the Torah means the image of the Navi. That was really Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph is the Torah, who he was.
It's a description.
The description of who he was and what the time frame of his existence. And then we describe the Pasuk Beis, his credentials. Ve'echuchsak l'navi neman, maschil guf ha-sefer. Pasuk Gimel begins with his actual first prophecy, telling us, Koyam Hashem, telling us exactly what's going to happen, not to Klal Yisrael, but to Damesek. Before he gives over a prophecy regarding the Jewish people, Hikdim Nivuas Pur Anuyos Al Shechene Eretz Yisrael, the neighbors, Asher Heril Yisrael, who have caused harm to the Jewish people. So notice that the Malbim is consistent with the Radak and tells us that the reason why they are suffering is because they caused harm to Klal Yisrael. We mentioned yesterday that Rashi and the Mitzudos do not say anything like this. They make no mention, at least so far, that Damesek is being punished because they've caused harm to Klal Yisrael. The reason why they're being punished is because they have done outrageous acts of terror. And who have they done these outrageous acts of terror to? The Pasuk really doesn't say. The Pasuk doesn't say explicitly anywhere they did this to Klal Yisrael. It was the Radak that assumed that this is what they did to Klal Yisrael in the Mulchama against the Malchus of Yehuda. Didn't say that. But according to the Malbim, they did it. The Malbim learns that the reason why they're being punished is not so much because they've committed outrageous acts of terror, it's because they've caused harm to Klal Yisrael. Asher v'hoidia ki ya'anishem Hashem b'avur zem, Hashem will punish them. Even though Klal Yisrael deserved it. Even though whatever Aram, any pain that Aram caused, brought upon Klal Yisrael was deserved, so what? The Egyptians also brought pain upon Klal Yisrael, we deserved it. Yet they went overboard. Okay, though that's the famous whole topic of discussion, why they punished still Laku Ba'avoinam B'chozois, Lo Yinaku Kol Hanoigim Mohem L'Ra'a. No one gets off the hook for causing harm to Klal Yisrael. Kamo Shukasa Vigam Esagoya Shayavoidu Don Anochi Hashem said to Avram Avinu that Egypt, even though they are being recruited to cause Golus for Klal Yisrael because they need to go into the Kor Abarzel to be purified, still they will be punished for what they will do. Vine Aram Hoya Shochen Le'eretz Yisrael Bitzad Mizrach. They were on the east side. Okay, so the east side, you picture the famous map of Eretz Yisrael. The east is on the right side. Uplishtim b'marav. The Plishtim were on the opposite side. They were on the left. The Tsar b'tzafa, and Tyre was in the north. The Edom, this is something which is a little bit confusing. Where exactly is Edom? So the Malbim says something which is a little bit controversial. What? So he's saying the south, but really, you look at the maps, you get the impression they're more east than they are south.
Okay, so
it's southeast.
Southeast.
Okay, but normally you get the fine. But he's saying over here that they are Edom is. So he says Edom is. Turn the page to the next page. The Edom, the Amon Umoyov Ba Doron.
is the idea on Shem. The truth is, there's real no, we really don't have a clarity. I don't think so. All of us, we don't have a clear cut. Where exactly is Amon, Moav, and Edom? It's not really clear. There are different opinions, general areas, but to Mamish put boundaries around these three nations, you're not going to find. You're not going to find with
boundaries.
You know, even general,
not including natural boundaries, like the Yarden.
No, that for sure not. That for sure not. Not the Yarden. The Yarden was Sichon and Oig. Sichon and Oig. That was the their two
and,
land.
And what do you call? But also, you have Sichon and Oig, and also Amon and Moav are over there.
So that's the question. Where exactly is Amon? Whatever it is, right? He's telling us that they're in the south. V'yodia onsham ze achar ze, and the pasuk now is going to reveal their punishment. V'hischil me Aram. We're starting first with Aram, Shehem, Heiru, Lishol, Techila, Min, Yimei, Elisha, Ad, Yimei, Yeravim, Ben Yoyosh. Starting with Elisha, all the way until Yeravim, Ben Yoyosh, Kimavor, Besefer, Melachim, V'yomer, Al Shloisha, Pisha, Yedamesek, Vel Arba, Hachi, Lo Yashivenu. So he's Eskimuloi. Now look what the Malam has just done in these few words. He's given us an interpretation that is unlike everything that we learned yesterday. Yesterday, we translated the pasuk to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the nations of the world up to three times. They all said this explicitly. For three sins, you get a pass. But the fourth sin, you've already gone over the red line, and that's it. He says no. He includes all of them together. The Omar, Al Shloisha Pishe Damesek V'Al Arba, for the three sins, and for the four sins, hachi lo yashivenu es gumuloi. Achar shechotu shloisha pe'omim, v'gam ha'pesha harvi, haloi behech reach she'anishem, I must punish them, v'yoshuv gimulam lohem. Ulo mahin ashloisha pe'shoim, what are the three sins? Then he's going to explain, but that the way he translates the pasuk, it indicates that Hashem only forgives for two sins. Up to two sins, Hashem is willing to forgive. But for three sins and for four sins, is Hashem not going to give retribution? No way.
That's does it depend on the severity of the sins?
I don't know. He's not explaining the details. He's not explaining. The Radak yesterday said that as long as the severity is not outrageous, Hashem overlooks. Hashem does not even get involved, he said. We had that discussion yesterday. But the way everyone translated the pasuk was, we put a comma. Al shloisha pishei damesek. Period. Period. For three sins, Hashem says, I'm willing to overlook. I'm willing to forgive. But the al arba'a lo ashiven. What is the fourth sin? Then goes on to say the fourth sin was an outrageous act, outrageous crime, to torture other human beings. That's not the way the Malbim learned Shan the Pasek. He tells us that the words Lo Ashivenu is going back on Shloisha, Al Shloisha Pishe Damesek V'Al Arba'a Lo Ashivenu. Once already you've reached sin number three, and certainly sin number four, am I not obligated to intervene and bring punishment, retribution upon the perpetrator? Of course I will. So it's a whole different translation of the pasuk, according to the Malbim, that up to that already three sins already is past, already you've gone too far. Now, what are the sins? So if we remember yesterday, the Mitzudos taught us the sins, the three were Avodah Zarah, Gil Yarayos, and Shvichas Damim. Hashem is willing to overlook those three sins. But he's not willing to overlook the sin of torturing another human being. The Radak taught us the three sins are three wars that Aram provoked. They waged war against Klal Yisrael three times for no reason at all. And Hashem says, I forgive you for that. But for the fourth war that you waged against the Malchus of Yehuda, that I cannot forgive. So he's coming to review, and then he's going to tell us what the Barbanel says. So what are the sins? He goes on to say, what exactly are the sins? Ula mahein hashloisha pishoim, perish haradak, shalosh pa'amim shehereyu liyishol tekhila. It refers to the wars, waging of wars for no reason. V'arav Rebbe Yitzchak Abarbanel, perash shiritzon leimar, Shloisha Peshoim Hayidurim Shahim Avodazara Gile Rais Shvichastamim Shoye Benehem. That's what the Mitsudos David said. The Mitsudos David was obviously drawing from the Abarbanel. The Mitsudos David draws obviously from the Kadmainim. The Yomar Shagam Shloi Heshafti Gimulam Al Shloishes HaPeshoim Hachi Ato Shaposhu Gam Pesha Harvi Hachiloy Ashivenu. Now that you've already gone to number four, but really, you know, he's contradicting himself just a bit, because he translated the pasuk that even for the third sin already, you've already gone over the red line. What was particular unique about the fourth sin? Torture. The apesha harivi hu al dusham b'charutzos habarzel esagilot shayimavirim al gufam charitzos barzel. They took spikes of iron and they combed their flesh. With unusual cruelty and fury. And what's going to be the punishment? Pasuk Dalid, Vishilachti Esh, Shleitovoi Pur Onios Biderech HaTeva. The punishment will be Lamala Miderech HaTeva, Shetchila Yichboish Ha'ev Ori Hasodes Saviv. First they're going to conquer the cities, V'achakach Yichboish Shar Ha'ir, then the gate. Now he's already going further into the next psukim, and he's telling us is that the attack will be from within. The acharei ze yachidiv beis hamelech ki yia behepich. Doesn't make sense, right? Normally, when you attack, you first attack the gates. After you get into the gate, you attack the inhabitants of the city, and then you go into the White House. Then you go into the Capitol. That's how you attack. You attack from the without. And then you go into the city, and then you go into the center of the city is where the king lives. Here, the next pasuk is going to tell us that they're going to first attack the White House, and then they're going to attack the Capitol, and then they're going to attack the boundary, the border. My high, what's going on over here? So today, it's not Akasha.
Right.
In modern warfare, big right. deal. You have a plane, and you drop some paratroopers right down on top of the White House. And you ever see a good movie?
Decapitation
yeah. of the authority, right?
Who's in charge, so it's chaos.
Exactly. Okay, so today it's not a kasha. No big deal. You go mamash right in, and then mamela you. But in ancient times, it didn't work like that. Okay, there were enough technology where it was possible to go and attack from within. So what does that tell us? What does it open up our mind to? Is that this pasuk, obviously, this is referring to, it's not just a prophecy for the time that he's referring to, it's for the future. A nevuah, anything that's in Nach, can be interpreted in many layers, many levels. And you read the Pshut Shel Mikra, he's referring to Damascus in ancient times. What was it, 3,000 years ago, something like that, whatever it was? You're talking about ancient times. Okay. But obviously, he's saying things that today, to us, has a lot of meaning. This is the way it is today. Today, when you attack, we have the technology to do it in the reverse order. And that's probably the preferred way to do it today. So obviously, it's coming to open up our eyes. Don't just read this pasuk in reference to what was. Look at this pasuk as a reference to what will be, leading up to the coming of Mashiach.
Well, that's what the Abarbanel says in terms of the Nebuah of Gog Magog. Happens all three times. Why it's in Eretz Yisrael? Because it happened already. He interprets it between the Christians and the Muslims. It's already two wars they had. It's the best two out of three. So the first two are war already. He starts saying when they kick first, the Christians kick them out. Then they kick the Christians out, and the third one will again be in Eretz Yisrael, squaring off those two, and that's World B. And like Bezos Hayom, that's the reason it'll take place there, so we'll get the spoils of war.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, that's the whole learning of Nach. You learn Nach. It's very rich, because it's so practical. There are so many things that are going on. Okay, let's go further. Kiya bebach tila, he explained, look how he reasoned to the Pasek. He reasoned to the Pasek, Ashalach tila eish beis chazoel. Who is chazoel? Shehu beis hamalchos. See, the mal, the radak, and the other farsh didn't really tell, they didn't really explain this. That's the capital. That's the palace. The acharkach, it said, what's the next? The acharkach, we turn the page to 271. The acharkach ochla arminois ben hadod, ben chazoel, shamolach acharav, ubona arminois soviv beis oviv, that is the city, the capital. And then the next pasuk goes on, and we're just reading into the next pasuk, v'shavarti b'riach damesek. Then we describe the boundary, the wall of the city, b'riach shol mivtzar ho'ir, the achar kach v'chrati yoshev mibikas oven shol yusav, that's on the outskirts, v'soymech shev mibis eden shol yushayachim l'malchus haram, v'ho yulochem shevet mishol b'fnei atzman tachas malchus haram. Okay, basically there were some suburbs. Which were affiliates of Aram, which lived in their vicinity, the Gam, Haim, Yiglu, Im Aram, Kira, they'll also go into exile, the city, Agam, Shal Yeshevet, Befnei Atzma, Be'ofen, Sheyidmu, Kecholi, Mesukon, Shehachoy La'as, Maschil, Men Aleif, Asher, Mimenu, Toitzos, Achayim, U'mespashet, El Kol, Evrei, Hagaviyah, to all of the limbs of the body. So the thing over here is that just like a person, Rahman L'Stan, if he's sick, the heart is the center. That's the king of the body. And if Rachmana Litzlan, there's a sickness in the heart, it can spread all of the organs, the external organs begin to shut down. Likewise, that is a way that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to wage war against Aram. He's going to attack the head. He's going to attack the center, the king. They will be, like you said, decapitated. There will be no authority. Chaos. Decapitation, chaos will ensue, and that will, it will be a destruction. It will implode. The Chorban will come from within. And the way the Malbum, in his time, this can only happen al-Derech Nes. But we know today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the technology that it's more than just Derech Nes. That is one thing I want to point out, is one theme that comes out from all the Psukim, all the Mepharshim together, and that is, it's very, very frightening, and it's very, very real, and that is, torturing another human being is the worst possible thing. Worse than death, the worst thing that you can do. Forget about how many sins Hashem forgives. One thing, over here the Pasuk spells out, you've done Aver number one, Aver number two, Aver number three, and the very severe, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, or you wage war. Hashem says, you know what, there's a possibility for me to overlook what you've done. But when you torture your fellow man, you torture him, this is something I will not...
Torture them before they kill them, or they just torture
them? Stomp torture. Different people, torture. This is something that I will not let go by. And unfortunately, the older you get, you see, unfortunately, many, many times, so people need to make parnasa. And you're just not going to quit. You can't quit. You have a family to feed. You have to make a few bucks to pay the bills. And there are people in every profession... They are in charge. There are the, I said in Yiddish, the Unterführers and the Nachschlappers. They're the people who are in charge and the people who are the followers. And the people who are in charge have the ability to abuse and to torture the people who work under them. That's the way it is. And you see this all the time. And what are you going to do about it? You're going to open up your mouth and say, it's not fair. You've insulted me, you embarrassed me, you treat me like a piece of garbage. I've been here a lot longer than everyone else. You're not going to open up your mouth because they'll say, so quit, we'll fire you. And then what am I going to do then? How am I going to pay the bills? You have no choice. You have to stick it out. And you have to suffer. And the people who are in charge, you see this all the time, they have a knack. If you have power, it's fun. It's fun to squeeze out the people who work under you and to torture them. I mean, depending on where you work, I've seen this in many, many things that I've done. You know, you just take the abuse. What are you going to do about it? And it's very frightening what the Pasuk says, is that you can commit horrible crimes. As long as your crimes are, you know, they're... Hashem is willing to overlook, but Hashem does not overlook a sin
when that sin is causing pain and suffering to another human being. Now you'll tell me, Avodah Zarah, Gilrei, Shlichas Damim, you know, that's certainly pain, it's true. It's pain, it's collateral damage, but the pain comes to an end. I want to talk later in the halacha about Tsar Bali Chaim. Okay, this week's parasha, we learned about the creation of animals. Are you allowed to kill an animal just for fun?
No.
So it's not so pashut. It's not so pashut. I like go hunting. Hunting. I want a chalamoy trip. I go hunting and you shoot bird, you shoot down some birds. Or you go find deer and you kill deer, or you go kill bears. And what do you do with the nothing? Throw it in the garbage, do nothing. Are you allowed? So there are many issues. One of the issues is, what about Tsar Bale Chaim? Is there a prohibition of Tsar Bale Chaim in killing a creature?
I think that's only if it's while it's alive. So
the Noida B'Yehuda says, he holds as Taka Osir to kill creatures for no reason whatsoever, but he makes it very clear it's not included in the prohibition of Tsar Bali Chaim. Tsar Bali Chaim is only when you keep a creature alive. If you allow the creature to remain alive and you cause it pain, that is Tsar Bali Chaim. To kill a creature is not Tsar Bali Chaim. It may very well be forbidden for other reasons. But it's not included in Tsar Bali Chaim. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim. Okay, you can argue there is definitely pain to, and there's collateral damage. The people who, every person is killed, what about his children, his wife, his family, v'chulu v'chulu, of course. But to a degree, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, it's the pain, if you can say such a thing, is limited. But the fourth sin that's mentioned over here is to keep everyone alive. No one's going to die. We're just going to torture you. We're going to take iron nails, and we're going to comb your flesh, and we'll send you home. That, Hashem says, I will not forgive. Tsar Balei Chaim, especially in regard to human beings, is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not overlook. And just as we know that there's physical pain, there is psychological pain. And if you are an employer, and you just like to play with people, you like to play with them, you just want to manipulate one person against another person, that you know that these two people, they hate each other like poison. And for fun, we'll put you in the same room. You're going to work side by side on a project together. When you have the ability to take someone else, they can work on that project. Or you can deny a person a raise. Him, I'm giving a raise. And you who stay here every single night and work your head off, you're not getting a raise. It's not fair. Oh, it's not fair? So quit. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to feed my family? So why are you causing a person so much anguish, so much pain by doing this? Because you enjoy it. It's a sickness. And everyone here has seen this. At some point in your life, every single person has seen psychological abuse, where you know your victim has no way out, and you do it to send him a message. You convince yourself you're doing it for the right reason, or you just want to show who's the boss. V'chulu, v'chulu. It is something which is a... It is a sickness. It's an evil thing, and we have to learn from the words of the Navi. This is a very important thing to learn. Learning Navi, learn some practical halacha, some practical musar. Hashem says, for a major crime, there's a possibility that there will be forgiveness. But there will be no forgiveness for torturing another human being. That Hashem does not let go by. Let's now take a look at the Mamori Chazal. The Mamori Chazal, back on Pasuk Gimel, Likutei Shas Umidroshe Hatanoim, back on page 268. Koyamar Hashem al Shlesha Pishe Damesek Pen Inakut Saremoy. Okay, this was, we read this only 2 weeks ago in Hazinu. Beshah, what does this pasuk mean? So the Chazal explained this simple translation. Beshas, Sarasam Shal Yisrael, Umois Ha'oy, when Klal Yisrael is in the state of Tsar, Umois Ha'olam Minakrim Oysam they Nakam means they make themselves as a nechar. Nechar means a stranger. The nechar ha'aretz, the strangers of the land. They make believe they do not know what is taking place. The Holocaust. What more do you want the Holocaust? He's a stranger. He's not our brother. He's not our brother. Modern times, the Holocaust, the world knew clear and well what was taking place. Just make believe they did not know what was happening. The umos olam minakrim oisam v'oisim atzmam ki ilu ein makirim oisam olam. They don't know. What? On Likutei Shas, page 268, on the very, very bottom, Likutei Shas. Okay, so this is what we read not long ago. Pen yinakru tsaremo. Tsaremo comes from the word tsar, your enemy. Your enemies will make believe that they are strangers. They will make themselves as if they do not know, they're not aware of what's taking place. V'chein motzinu shebikshu livroyach klapei tsofayin. The lohayum asmaleim elohayu when they the goyim will say
nothing to do with it. You are the one who are guilty of this crime.
Oh, so they stick it to us. You deserve it.
The Radak said in a way, God, I wipe my hands. When you do that, it's nothing that I ever made happen. Below Hashem po'al kol zos.
That's what the goyim say.
Yeah,
the goyim say, "V'loy Hashem po'al kol." There are different interpretations. Who is saying that? Is the goyim say, or are we saying it? But let's read it over here. V'chei motzinu b'shabikshu livrech klav itzav. We find that when I think in Ashur, when he wanted to attack Klal Yisrael, they wanted to flee to the north. They wanted to go up to Tsar. And what happened? Lo hayu ma'asrim aleihem, elo hayu maskirim oisam. They shut the door. They locked the door in front of us.
Mamash
the Holocaust. History repeats itself. King Shdemar, and here they quote this pasuk. He's going later on. See, over here, this pattern repeats itself throughout all of the nations. Al shloisha pishei damesek, al shloisha pishei amoin, al shloisha pishei moyav, and then we're going to come to Klal Yisrael, al shloisha pishei Yisrael. Okay, so this expression repeats itself. He's quoting a pasuk from later on in the Sefer. Al King Shdemar koyim Hashem al shloisha pishei v'nei amoin. V'al arbo lo yashivenu. What was the sin of Amoin? The fourth sin of Amoin. Al hiskirom golus shleima le'edoim. That they shut them in. The Jews wanted to escape to Amoin. That was the place of refuge. They did not grant visas to escape Edoim. Golus al hiskirom golus shleima le'edoim. Dikshu levrech den. So what happened? So the next option was to run to the Doraim, to run to the south, which is Dikshu Levrech Doraim, Mo Yumaskir Mo Yisam. They were also locked out. Shenemar, Kremar Hashem Al Shleisha Pishrei Azo. Azo with the Palestinian. That's where the Palestinian. The Palestinian, as you all know, are not the Palestinians. The Palestinian, as far as we know, ceased to exist. There are no more Palestinian anymore in this world. Okay, the Palestinian were obliterated off the face of the earth, and for some reason, these people took the name, which is very similar somehow,
well,
as phonetic.
That was the idea.
No, that's because
when the Romans renamed it. They wanted to de-Judaize the place, and then so therefore they named it after the ancient Palestine.
Okay, so Azza used to be the capital of the Palestine, the real Palestine, the real deal. They were very wicked. Hagloisam golus shleima lehaskir lo edoim. Leden. Big shul levrach lemizrach. They wanted to go to the east. Who's the east? Here's our pasuk. That's our pasuk. They wanted to go to Syria to survive. Shnemar kaim Hashem al shleisha pishe idam mesek. Big shul levrach lemarv to the west. To the west. Who is in the west? That is the arah. Hayu maskim al shnemar masa. Now this is in Yeshaya. We're now skipping to a different safe. Yeshaya was a contemporary.
Yes, of the ocean.
Versus the Masa ba'arav. Masa means a vision. It's another expression of a prophecy. A prophecy ba'arav. Bayar ba'arav. Tolinu orchos didonim. We Tolina, we hung caravans, Didonim, to go, I think there means we wanted to go to a place called, the name of a place.
There was the, one of the...
Didon. Didon, it's one of the 70.
Yeah, one of the 70 nations.
Nations. We wanted to go to this place called Didonim. We asked for visas to go to escape, and they said no, the door is closed.
I believe Rashi brings this on the Pasuk Asher Yushag.
Where?
From when the Hagar.
Asher is Yishmael.
Yeah, but Rashi brings
this Tusk as well. Okay, whoever this is, a nation of Arav. Arav is what the Arabs could be, whatever it is.
No, Rashi Sham, because the Malachim said
kill him.
Die. He should die.
Right now he did not do it yet. Right now they did not do anything wrong.
So he brings this Tusk, I believe.
That means that he's saying they're on the east side. He's saying that this nation, whoever it is the west, which is, I guess, over the ocean, over the Mediterranean somewhere. I don't know, wherever it is, it is. What's just very fascinating about this Chazal is he's telling us that Klal Yisrael were locked in. They were locked in on all four sides. We have halacha and parasha shavt. If we go to war against the nation, we are not allowed to enclose, to lock in a nation, all four sides. You have to, there's a law, before the Geneva Conventions, there was a law, the Chazal, the Torah is even more generous than the Geneva Conventions. When you attack a nation, you have to leave for them an escape route. You're not allowed, right, the Chumash. You have to leave an escape route, you have to leave an opening for them to escape. If they don't want to fight, they don't want to fight, let them escape. That is what the Torah demands of us when we enter into a milchemes, at least milchemes reshus, and it could very well be, I'm not sure, it could be a milchemes mitzvah also. It could be a milchemes mitzvah. You have to allow the enemy, if they so wish to, you can chase after them, you can kill them, you can overtake them, but at least psychologically, it's a psychological device. What? Yeah, if you overtake them. But at least psychologically, an enemy has to know that they can make a run for it. There's an attempt for them to go and make a run. Some of Farshim say it's really for us,
right?
Because if the enemy knows that they're going to die no matter what, Thomas Navshi and Plishtim, they have nothing to lose, and we're going to be harmed.
Right.
Then they're going to kill us.
Right.
They're going to fight with much more intensity.
Right.
So it's a technique for us, at least tactic. Psychologically, they know in the back of their minds that if we feel that we're overwhelmed, we have an escape. We have an escape hatch. We can abort. We can press the button, and we'll parachute out of the plane, and we'll be okay. That way, they're not going to fight with such vigor, and that way, we'll make it easier for us to succeed. That's one approach. Others say, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is Hashem had rachmonis on his creatures. Hashem had rachmonis. Give an enemy the ability to escape. You have to give him that enemy. Here, our enemies were not so generous. Our enemies, we were under attack by Edom and one Tekufa, which in this Pash Edom referring to Bachum by Sheni, could be. I'm not exactly sure how he's learned Shani. It could be there were times when they were fighting against Edom, even times of before they built the Bais Rishon. There was also a Muhammad against Edom. So I'm not sure exactly what Tekufa we're referring to. It's a Nevuah for the future, whatever it is. But it says here, according to Chazal, that our enemies are not so kind. They want to entrap us on all four sides, deny us the ability to escape. And this was certainly true in World War II, where no one wanted us. That's how the whole world started, the voyage of the St. Louis. The St. Louis, and we came all over the whole world, to Mexico, to the United States, the Caribbeans, to Canada. The last stop, the Maka, the Patish, was Canada. Canada was the worst. After the United States rejected the St. Louis, they went to Canada, and there the Prime Minister of Canada was outright nasty. So just horrible what he said and what he did. And they went back to Germany. And half of them were killed in the war. Half of them, there's a whole record exactly what happened to every single person on that ship. Half of them perished in the Holocaust. What?
How many people?
I think 700?
700, 800.
Wasn't Kennedy on that ship too?
Kennedy should have been.
No.
It's a movie. There are movies.
Wasn't just a ship.
Yeah.
Just a ship.
No, for Jews, all Jews. Everyone was Jewish. Everyone was Jewish. Everyone on the ship was Jewish. And Hitler was watching. He was watching very, very carefully. And when he saw that no one wanted the Jews, this empowered him to do whatever he wanted. The world, he saw the world could not care less. Could not care less.
This was in the beginning of the war when he said.
Before the war. This was before Kristallnacht. This was before Kristallnacht. Some say that this was the real beginning of the Holocaust. The historians always say Kristallnacht is the beginning of the Holocaust. Not true. This was a year earlier than Kristallnacht.
1937.
This was the real beginning of the Holocaust, this event. The voyage of St. Louis. The movie, there are a few movies. When I once did research online, there are a few movies on exactly what happened. And there are still new things coming out. There are still new things that were never known that are being revealed now. What happened? Yeah?
At the same time, when that voyage was taking place in Europe, all the countries, by that time, all the Jews were already sent.
The ghettos?
No, it was not ghettos yet. At home, they were
with the
yellow stars.
Everybody had to account where he was born. So people on the borders were born in, let's say, Romania, and they were living in Hungary or living in Czechoslovakia, living in Poland. So they were sending out whole families or half families on the other side. Yeah. On the other side, they didn't want to accept them. So they became homeless in the neutral territory.
Neutral territories, they were homeless. They couldn't go here, couldn't go there. They were stuck.
Polish were, like in Germany, kicked out a lot of Poles.
Yeah.
So Hungary kicked out.
They were trapped. They were trapped from all sides. Yeah. It was chaos.
The were kicked out.
And because in our area, we were on the border, and there was a mess, like children, and the fathers already were recruited into the working camps, so the local people would feed them.
Terrible. Chazal predicted all this way, way back, 3,000 years. The Sifrei, this is from the Tanoim. Can you imagine such a thing? This was all foreseen, how all four sides, no one wants us. No one wants the Jew. The whole story of the Holocaust is mamish right here in this Maimer Chazal. And what he's saying is something very different than everything that we've learned. Until now, we're learning, what is the sins? We learned Mitzudos and Abarbanel, Avoy the Zorah Gilirai Shvi Chastamen. And then we talk about, Avel Arbo, what's the fourth sin? So torture, this. No, he's coming to connect all the dots. There's one continuous theme taking place from the beginning of Amos to the end of Amos, with a Pasuk in Yeshaya as well, is that wherever we wanted to go, no one wanted to take us. Not on the east, not on the west, not the north, not the south. We were trapped. We were trapped, and the nations of the world are guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty for allowing this to happen, not allowing us to be refugees in a foreign land. And this, you know, this became a very, very touchy topic not that long ago with Trump and Obama when there are millions of refugees and they're getting out of a place where their life is in danger. Do we take them in? How many of them? Are they dangerous to us? Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? On the one hand, they can destroy the country. They're mixed into this group. They can be terrorists, ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these crazy...
They destroyed
Europe. On the other hand, these people, these leaders, they're neshama, and I mean this, they don't know these psukim maybe the way we know these psukim, but there's a certain sense of history, of the guilt. If someone is suffering, you just can't look the other way. You just can't be selfish and cruel. The question is, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the? Your first obligation is to protect your own people. That's your first obligation. You have to take care of your own people. You can't have any seikas. Even one citizen in your country dies, that's not fair. Let me start saying, you want to be guilty of this again, even though it's not the Jews, even though there are other, there it's Syria, it's whoever they are, Russians, Ukrainians.
Look at Yoga. Killing each other between themselves.
And they're innocent people. There are a lot of innocent people that are not involved in all this insanity.
the husband is on the front, is in the army, in the ISIS, and his wife and children he sends to Israel.
So what? His wife and his children, are they guilty? Yeah. He's a mishugan. He was brainwashed.
There's a lot more to this.
It's extremely complicated. Extremely complicated. You can debate this forever. Exactly. Exactly. What will become of them?
Talking about not women and children, but young men.
Yeah. Okay. It's it is such a difficult. And if you remember going back, read the news about what do the Jews have to say about this? The Frum people. What do the Jewish liberals have to say about this?
And
it's very interesting. It's very interesting to hear the different opinions.
It was the Jewish liberals that kept out the Jews from Europe.
Yes.
Okay. Mashahoya Kvarahoya. That's over. Let's discuss now. Let's discuss 2018. 2018. You're an American citizen. You have a vote. You have a vote. Let us say there'll be a referendum. Referendum. Should we take in refugees from Syria?
No.
A referendum.
Every Jewish liberal want to put a Syrian into your home, not into his home.
Say again?
The liberals want take them to your home, not to us.
Okay, fine.
All
right, fine. But it's a very tough question. Rabbanim, who have to speak from the pulpit, no one's talking from the pulpit over here in Flatbush, but out of New York, in this area, Rabbanim, you know, the Balabatim want to hear what they have to say about this. It's a very touchy topic. It's a very, very complicated problem. Look what it says here.
But Yonah also didn't want to go. One reason he didn't want to go.
The Lutruva. That's different. No one's doing tshuva here. No one's doing tshuva here. We're just dealing over here with people who are suffering, who have an etia, who come from a background of violence and of terrorism, and mitzad echad, they're innocent people now, basher husham, but they have an etiyos. They're believers in a religion, and they come from parents and grandparents that are suicidal and are terrorists.
And they don't integrate.
And they don't integrate, exactly. Do they integrate? It depends on their studies. How old are they? Maybe if they're teenagers, no. Maybe if they're under a certain age, yes. Who knows? Who's to say?
They come with an iman who tells them.
Right, that's the problem. So don't let the iman come. Let the kids come. Don't let the iman come. Don't let anyone over a certain age come. Who is to say? It's a very delicate balancing act. On mitzad echad, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy. That is a given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pleased to see what the nations of the world did to us by not letting us come into their territory when we were refugees. Now you can't compare, can't write in one sentence, us and them. We are peace-loving people compared to these Meshugoyim out there. But Mitzad Sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a tviya. You're dealing with children, women, and as you mentioned, Basher Husham. Where do you draw the line? Don't look at me. I don't know. I'm not the kind of the people that make these decisions.
Chazal also said, he who is merciful to the cruel will in the end be cruel.
And for every one Maamar Chazal that you'll quote that way, someone will come along and give you 20 Maamar Chazal that say Pum Faket. Okay, that's the way it is.
The devil can also quote
scripture. It's like, you know, there was once a discussion between the Satmirov and of Shraga Feivelman Lovish. The Sadma Rav, I don't have to tell you, was probably the biggest anti-Zionist the world has ever seen. Correct? Possibly. And Shraga Feivel Mendelovich was a real Zionist. I'm sorry to shatter your image. He was a real Zionist. He really was. Read the book. In the early days, at least, before many Gedolim were, they weren't anti, that's for sure. Later on, they became anti when they saw what was really going on. Okay, but in the early days of Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, he was a stark Zionist, a religious Zionist. Real. Not a Mizrahi, no. But he made his own flag. He wanted to make a flag. He would tell the Bachman, if I were you, if I was young like you, I would get out of America, I would run to Eretz Yisrael, pick up a gun and go on the front lines and fight. He was some extreme things that he said and he did. And he had a conversation, he had interaction with the Satmarov. And the Satmarov was not very happy with Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. He was not very happy. And he said some very, very sharp, very sharp and hard, harsh things to Rav Shraga Feivel Milovich. I'm just quoting you from the article book on Rav Shraga Feivel Milovich. And Rav Shraga Feivel said, he didn't say anything, he just took it all. He took the Musar, very stark Musar, he listened. And then after everything calmed down, he would tell his Talmidim and his friends, for every Chazal that the Satan Rav said to me, I could have said him back, I could say back to him 20 Mamari Chazal, Pumfakert, showing you that I'm right. But I don't want to get into a fight with him. He has a temper. He said he has a temper. I don't want to get into a fight with him. I don't want to get. Sir Michal, you're right. You're quoting me a Chazal. I don't know these things. But for every Chazal you say, you can quote another 21 Chazal. So who is to draw the line? Who knows? Only Hashem knows. Only Hashem knows the balance. Everything in life is balance. But when you read these psukim and you read this Chazal, it definitely shakes you up. It shakes you up not to be 100% cruel. No, we're in America. That's it. Shut the borders. This, that. My tax money should not go. Okay, it's not. There's a lot. There are so many variables. There's so many factors. There's so much information. But look what it says here. It says that there's a tevia on the Umay Sa'olam for being cruel and not taking in refugees. Taking in, we're not talking about giving money, foreign aid, tzedakah. We're talking about taking in refugees. It's exactly what it says
the
over
kind
here.
Of, though, is not that we're taking in refugees.
Terrorists.
We are not vetting out the people that...
Right.
And in the case here that's being spoken of, taking in refugees meant temporarily and with the intent that they should return.
Well, that's what you'll argue now also. Anyone you take in today, when everything calms down, they'll go back. That's the goal, right? Isn't it?
No.
The liberals, their goal is, we all know this, the reason why we want, because stay in the country and be a Democrat.
Right.
And that because we replenish. No wall, because anyone that comes from Mexico to the United States, it's a given. They're a Democrat. Any refugee is a Democrat. So you're able to vote in the people that you want. If you're just going to maintain the status quo, the party is in a lot of trouble. We can't create a goyim, so let's import some.
That's exactly right.
Okay, that's politics. We shouldn't get into politics now. No. All right, let's look a little bit further. Just another 2 minutes. Let's finish over here. So this is the Chazal. Anything more we need to do over here? So let's leave it with this, because I want to go to tomorrow to the next pasuk. We'll stop over here.